KMXT and Kodiak, this is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Kayla DeRoche. Coming up this week, KMXT talks with Governor Bill Walker about fisheries in the state. Also, a group is fundraising to fight a ballot initiative which seeks to make salmon habitat protections more stringent. That and more coming up on this week's Alaska Fisheries Report.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. 1-800-992-4960 or online at alaskaboat.com.
A group opposing a controversial ballot initiative to strengthen salmon habitat protections raised over $2 million since January, roughly 10 times more than its supporters brought in over the same period. Those figures include non-monetary contributions like air travel and staff time. In a recent filing with the Alaska Public Offices Commission, the opposition group called Stand for Alaska reported major contributions from some of Alaska's biggest industry players. Oil company BP gave over $500,000 and ConocoPhillips gave $250,000. Other big donors to Stand for Alaska included mining companies like Pebble Limited Partnership and Donlin Gold. Yes for Salmon, the group backing the ballot initiative, reported contributions of just over $200,000. Its largest contribution was $100,000 from John Childs, who is chairman of a Massachusetts private equity firm. Childs is also on the board of the Wild Salmon Center, an environmental group supporting the ballot initiative. Yes for Salmon supporters say the state's current permitting rules for projects that could impact salmon habitat are too lax, while the industry argues the measure would effectively shut down a wide range of projects. But it's not yet guaranteed that voters will weigh in on the initiative. The state is opposing it in court, and the Alaska Supreme Court will hear arguments in the case later this month.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund, supporting conservation and harvesting of Alaska's wild, sustainable fisheries.
Recently, KMXT had the opportunity to talk with Governor Bill Walker and discuss fisheries with him, both with regard to the state and to coastal communities like Kodiak. He addressed the graying of the fleet and the future for fisheries.
Governor, I guess just to start this off, I just want to ask you, in your opinion, what's the role of fishing in the state?
Well, it's absolutely critical. It's one of the reasons we became a state. It was because of on fishing issues. And so it's a very high priority. We are very involved in it through the Commissioner, Department of Fish and Game, through our various cabinet members. I've met with all sorts of different groups on fisheries issues. So it is absolutely critical to Alaska.
Do you have any specific priorities that you'd like to pursue in the future when it comes to fishing and commercial fishing?
Well, what some of the challenges are how to balance all the different interests. It's between subsistence and commercial and sport and whatnot. There's a lot of competition amongst different groups. But the main thing is that we manage our fisheries for a sustainable yield. That it goes on for generations. And one area I am focused on is that I want to make sure that the younger Alaskans are able to get into the fisheries. I have spoken to them a number of times. The group we call it a specific name of the organization, but it's through the university system where they have classes and organizations for folks that want to get in the fisheries, and they're from all over Alaska. They're from Kodiak, from Cordova to the Valdez to Sitka. I mean, they're all over the state. So that's a focus I have, is making sure that the cost of entry is not outside the reach of the younger fishermen.
How can you make fishing a more affordable profession to get into?
Well, one is to listen to those. First of all, listen to those that are trying to get into the fisheries. I was on a plane recently, and a young fisherman from Cordova asked me if I could spend some time with him, and I did. And so we sat on the back row of that plane and chatted about his efforts to get in the fishery. He had a boat out of Cordova, and he was trying to get a permit. And so, you know, it's a matter of listening to some of the challenges that are out there, you know, before we act too aggressively, to make sure that we're going to, you know, hit the mark to allow them to get into the fisheries. I you know, going up in Valdez, obviously you don't go up in Valdez without, you know, being on the, at some point being on a seiner, and I certainly spent a little bit of time on a seiner, and you know, it's a matter of making sure that it's a future that you know, the next generation of Alaskans are able to get into.
You were talking about making sure that the different parts of the industry, the fisheries industry, are well represented. And I had heard that you might be interested in expanding the number of seats on the Board of Fisheries. Is that something you are interested in?
Well, actually, we proposed that. We absolutely are interested in adding a couple more seats on the Board of Fish. And Representative Stutz has a bill addressing that. And so, yes, I think that's part of the problem, is that I think that fisheries is such a broad and critical issue in Alaska. I think we need to have a couple more seats.
Yeah, what would the purpose of that be?
To make sure have more people having an input on the on some of the decisions. And, you know, with the number we have now, it just doesn't quite cover the entire state as it should. And so, and it's not just the state, but also different user groups. So two more seats, I think, would be an improvement.
In your experience, is there one part of the fishing industry that is especially graying, so to speak?
You know, I don't know. I mean, that's a term of art, the graying of the fleet. And I've spoken in different fisheries groups. I look out in the audience, and I got to tell you, I'm concerned. I see people more looking closer to my age than sound like your age. And so that's concerning to me. And, you know, we have loan programs available, that commercial fishing loan programs available. But we have to make sure that does not preclude the next generation coming in. So I don't know if there's one particular area on the grain of the fleet more than the others, but I am concerned about that.
You know, when looking at challenges, Kodiak is facing, and a lot of Gulf coastal communities are facing, like, some hard times ahead with the cod quota being cut. And recently, a few years ago, we had the pink salmon disaster. How can you, as the governor, help with fishery disasters in the future?
Well, I mean, disasters are based upon, we don't control how many fish come back. We do control, have to do with the escapement to make sure that there is a return, but sometimes things happen. And what we do is we have multiple times applied for federal disaster funds for different fisheries. We did that on the salmon. In the past, I know we looked at that. I know the cod was a significant drop. And so, you know, things that are out of our control, and sometimes, you know, when a fishery doesn't return, you know, we look at trying to fix the problem, not necessarily fix the blame. And I don't know if anybody in particular, I mean, fish do what they do, and we can control the escapement to make sure that there's plenty of opportunity for future years fishing. But not everything is within our control on what happens in fisheries, for sure.
Do you have any stance, or is your office working on any ways to mitigate the effects of climate change on fisheries in Alaska?
Our climate change advisory board met actually in Fairbanks and are looking at issues. They're going to do a report back to me. I can't remember exactly what date they're going to provide it back, but I assume it's going to involve fisheries, because we have people on that advisory committee that are specifically from fisheries.
And just in general, you know, with communities that rely on fishing and these unstable times ahead, it can be hard for many to kind of, like, see. It's just going to be, like, pretty hard on the economy in Kodiak, and I'm sure it will be on other places. And with the hard fiscal times, or the fiscal crisis in Alaska, what kind of support can the communities look to towards the state?
Well, we've been drawing down on savings because there's no full fiscal plan, gone through about $14 billion of savings thus far to continue, you know, the level of service that we've been providing. And so, you know, it really is that the opportunity is for us to make sure that we get the most value out of all of our resources, in creating the jobs that we need to create and create the and also we need, you know, create some revenue out of the resource. We do get revenue from fishing, and that's, you know, very, very helpful, and we have for a long time. But the biggest item we have that we're working on as far as from a revenue standpoint is developing our natural resources on the North Slope, getting our gas to market, getting it to Alaskans, and putting Alaskans to work. We have the biggest trade opportunity and probably in the United States on our doorstep, and so we're in the process of putting that together, and that's going to be by far the single largest financial benefit to Alaskans we've seen probably for 30 years.
Do you have any plans to try and help rural and coastal communities counteract the rationalization and loss of fishing rights?
Well, we want to make sure that's probably Commissioner Cotton's area of expertise, but I want to make sure that Alaskans are benefiting from the fisheries. And so I want to make sure that we have a lot of wonderful companies in Alaska that on the processing side, and without them we would be in a very difficult position. So I applaud them for their investment in Alaska. And there's a tremendous investment in Kodiak, obviously, on the processors, on the shoreside processors. So I'm very, very pleased with that. We need to make sure that we manage our fisheries. Again, it kind of gets back to the young man from Cordova that I met, that we manage them in such a way that we don't preclude and raise the bar entry into the industry such that it's not attainable by young Alaskans.
That was Governor Bill Walker talking with KMXT's Mitch Borden about the future of fisheries in the state. Kodiak's herring sacro fishery opened by regulation on Sunday, and it looks like an early fishing season in another bigger area could mean less participation in Kodiak waters. Alaska Department of Fish and Game area biologist James Jackson says Kodiak is one stop in a lineup of fishing areas.
Typically, you get a lot of the same boats fishing a lot of different herring fisheries in the state of Alaska. So a lot of them will start in Sitka and then move over to Kodiak on their way to the much larger fishery in Togiak.
Fishermen now have to be more selective about where they stop. Jackson says herring has been showing up earlier in Kodiak due to warmer winters, and fish have also been spawning earlier. Other areas like Togiak have seen the same thing.
That earlier run timing in the other fisheries has changed a lot of the dynamic around Kodiak, for sure.
Jackson says participation in Kodiak's fisheries has been low. There are about 5 boats registered this year, and there were anywhere from 15 to 30 boats fishing between 2010 and 2014. That change may be partly because fishermen are choosing to go to Togiak instead of Kodiak.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
And that's all for this week's Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help from KMXT's Mitch Borden and the Alaska Energy Desk's Elizabeth Harbaugh. From KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Kayla DeRoche.